Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Describe the ruckus, sir.
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you here on this Tuesday afternoon in the Rose City. Thanks for being part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the Fan, and youtube.com/1080AM, the Fan. Party on, party people on the YouTube stream. Beavs pull within a run here in the top of the fourth inning of Louisville in the College World Series, right after Rust in his update that cracked the 90s.
Ooh.
A 90 on that one.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
Right after that, well, you got graded down because the home run shot.
Oh, that happened seconds after my update.
Announcer's
ended.
Jinx is a thing. I'm going to grade on that. Beavs get a 2-run shot. They now trail Louisville 3-2 in the top of the fourth. Pitching change. Beavs get into the bullpen of Louisville, which should be interesting because they, as most colleges are, dicey Louisville bullpen.
Yeah, there you go. The Beavs are lucky. They gave up 3 runs. They almost gave up 4. They almost gave up back-to-back jacks in the last inning. A little ground rule double that bounced over the fence. That thing had another foot on it. It was heading over the wall, so the baseball gods might have done them a little bit of a favor and then getting right back on track, and that's what the Beavs do, man.
Well, the pride of Antioch, California, Jacob Craig with the 2-run shot for the Beavs.
Probably the best thing to ever come out of Antioch.
Really?
Yeah, I mean.
All right. Well,
you know.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word for it. I don't know anybody from Antioch.
That's what I'm going with.
All right. Notable people from Antioch. Let's do that. I mean, that's why Google's here.
Yeah.
What you know? Got? Boy, you might be right. Somebody named Mars.
There you go. Bruno?
Nope.
No.
Just Mars.
Oh, okay.
And not
the Spike, Mars bars.
Not Spike Lee from the...
Mars Blackman?
Yeah, not that one. It's not a great list. Matt Mingus? That's a name.
That sounds like...
Najee Harris.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, in your face. So the second best thing right now.
Go.
It's to be determined where there could be more. There's a lot of people that they say are famous from there. I don't recognize really any of them. So I'm going to go second best thing to come out of Antioch.
Not bad.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? That's not bad.
Not bad.
That's not that bad. All right. Diego Pavia, not from Antioch, California.
No,
he is the quarterback at Vanderbilt. We remember him from beating Bama, right?
And just going nuclear.
Yeah, great on-field interview, living it up. He's got a little mean streak in him. And then Vandy had a decent season.
It's Johnny Manziel on ADD meds.
Boy, that's a pretty good one. Yeah. They had a pretty good season. Then Diego Pavia sues the NCAA and wins,
shockingly,
getting his JUCO year back, mm-hmm, and really changing the landscape of college sports, because mm-hmm, the NCAA now cannot tell people, well, you played JUCO, those years count, mm-hmm, towards your FBS. He's got another year at Vandy, and he went on the old Bussin' with the Boys podcast, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton, and boy, he was in his Johnny Manziel bag, mm-hmm, in this one, which makes me just... I just wish we had Johnny Football in this era, because things may have been different for him.
Yeah, if he didn't have to, you know, beg, borrow, and steal to get the money.
Yeah, if it was...
Out in the open, on the up and up, and he... Yeah. Because Johnny Manziel would have racked up insane amounts of money.
Yeah, he still did.
Yeah.
But Diego Pavia went on Bussin' with the Boys, and he went at quite a few people, including, he didn't name names, but in talking with the boys on Bussin' with the Boys, dropped this whole tampering thing. And I've been long saying, this is how tampering works in college football.
How much after the year was the portal blowing up for you on potential teams wanting you to come be the quarterback for them at a different school?
A lot. It was less reaching out to me. It was like more reaching out to like my brothers and my family and stuff.
Ding, ding, ding.
Was there a dollar amount that you heard that was like, holy shit?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to share, but like anywhere from like 4 to 4.5
to leave and go somewhere
to
else.
To leave.
What conference?
SEC.
Checks
ooh,
out.
Ooh, in conference.
In conference.
Georgia.
Yeah, let's run down the list of quarterback needy schools that have a need to be at, like, ready to go. And it's like,
A&M, Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't know. Two. I don't know who it was, but what he described is exactly when people say tampering, 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 he nails it on the head. This is how these things work. Is for those that think a coach reaches out to a player or somebody on the support staff reaches out to a player directly, that's not how these things work.
It's the go-betweens.
It is somebody in a collective that is not affiliated, mm-hmm, with the university reaches out to a family member of the player. His, like he was mentioning, his brothers, his parents, whatever, aunts, uncles, they will say, hey, you know, what would Diego think of coming to, you know, Tallahassee Tech for $4.5 million? Just throwing that out there. It's like, would there be interest there if that were to happen? That's how the tampering has been going on. And it's been widely reported, but people just think that it's like the head coach calls up Diego Pavia and is like, $4 million.
No.
$4.5 million. And that's just not how it works. That's the old school bagman way of operations for college football, where when guys couldn't get NIL money, that's the way it worked. That's yeah. Cam Newton's dad getting a new church, mm, right? Those are the way that things used to
charitable
happen.
Donation.
And it's different because things are on the up and up with the money changing hands. But
how
they
the
have
frameworks
the
of those
now.
Deals come together, that's a little different.
They find their workarounds right there. Here's where Diego Pavia is also making the headlines. Because immediately following that question, Will Compton, a Big Ten boy now,
mm,
Taylor Lewan, because he went to Nebraska, Taylor Lewan, Big Ten boy, went to Michigan. Mm-hmm. They asked about the Big Ten conference.
Any Big Ten teams trying to get you?
You want to play with the best. You don't want to play with the Big Ten.
Some cats, man.
You ignore those
the
calls.
The last two national titles.
I know.
Your era.
You ignore
your era.
Those calls. You know that.
The whole
you
time.
You ain't ignoring these calls.
But you
got
to think about this, too. The SEC is like nothing. Like, okay, the Big Ten, you have like Ohio State, Oregon.
Even it's Michigan.
Michigan, Penn State. Michigan, Penn State.
Yeah.
Okay. Arguably after this year, Nebraska. I got you, kid.
Yeah, we will see. I'll finish that sentence. Yeah,
but like,
we just
But like the SEC, you got all dogs. So like you really only have four games a year. Like the SEC, it's like week after week after, like you're going to get beat on. Like the Big Ten, you ain't going to get beat on with like the Purdue, Nebraska. You can not all you want.
Like that's a bullshit comment. Like a week after week.
Like that's real though.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here.
There's a lot of fart sniffing going on with the SEC there. They do love their own brand.
They do. And you also have to understand he's coming at it from the Vanderbilt perspective. What Diego Pavia is failing to realize is that he is the Purdue of the SEC.
Yeah, it's tough for you every week because you're at the literal bottom of the barrel of your conference.
You're playing, and their schedule is tough because they have... They will always play Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Tennessee is good again. This year they got Bama. They've got LSU. They have South Carolina and Auburn and Kentucky and Texas and Missouri on their schedule. Like, yes, they do have a tough schedule if you're Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
But playing Bama, LSU, and Texas, no matter what conference you're in, that's incredibly tough. And the SEC also, what he's failing to realize, the SEC has long protected schools that are on the margins mm-hmm. in their scheduling. And so the Vanderbilts of the world tend to get a lot of really tough games because they're saying, okay, Texas, Ole Miss, Bama, LSU, they need a reprieve somewhere in their schedule, right? They are the Purdue that he's talking about.
And from that point of view, I'm sure that's exactly what it feels like. But if you go into the Big Ten, okay, so we've got Michigan national title, Ohio State national title in the last 2 years. Has Penn State been in the playoff?
Yes, they have been.
Has Oregon been in the playoff?
They were the number one seed, yes.
Okay. So those four teams already in the last couple of years have been right there. Was Indiana in the playoff?
They were.
Okay, so that's five.
Okay, so we just went over Vandy's schedule. That looks very tough, mm-hmm. doesn't it? Purdue. They have USC, Notre Dame, which is a rivalry game, mm-hmm. not a conference game. But they have, we'll just go with their conference. They have USC, Michigan, Ohio State, and Indiana this year.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those teams were playoff teams a year ago. Mm-hmm. One of them is a national champion 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Purdue has a very tough schedule too in the Big Ten. Also, I just go, when anytime you have to play nine conference games, that is inherently more difficult. Nine conference games is inherently more difficult than playing eight conference
because
games.
Because even the worst conference game, who's the worst conference game they had this year? Northwestern?
Yeah, they have Northwestern.
Okay, so sure. Northwestern. If you're the SEC,
Vandy plays Kentucky,
and Vandy has what, Utah State?
They have Utah State, Georgia State, Virginia Tech, and Charleston Southern as their non-con.
Is Northwestern worse than any of those teams?
I think they are worse than Virginia Tech.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're worse than. I'm gonna go. I'll say they're worse than Virginia Tech this year.
That's fine. I'm not arguing. I'm just kind of like running the mill. Okay, so your worst conference game is mm-hmm. still better than three of your four non-cons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and by the way, non-cons are the other ones are jokes.
Yeah, Purdue's non-con is Ball State, Southern Illinois, Notre Dame.
That's a little tougher.
Yeah, I mean the Notre Dame one is just tougher than anything that they have in their four non-conference games. And that is wedged in between USC and Illinois.
And Illinois is not a bad team.
Illinois is going to be pretty good this year. I said this last year about Illinois.
You were on that train early with Bielma.
And they're going to be better mm-hmm. this year because they get their quarterback for another year.
Yep.
They're going to be a sneaky, tough game for a lot of teams.
Yeah. Would not surprise me if they won. If they won nine games, it wouldn't be out of left field.
No. I wonder what their schedule looks like, because that's going to determine a lot for Illinois and kind of how it shakes out.
Just from a talent standpoint, coaching standpoint, and kind of what they do, it would not surprise me if they won 8-9 games. Just it wouldn't.
No. Actually, their schedule is they miss Michigan. They miss Oregon. They miss Well, they have USC, Ohio State, Indiana,
but I and also Wisconsin. See,
they
I
miss Iowa. They miss Penn State.
Purdue, Rutgers, Maryland, Northwestern on there.
Yeah, they've got they got some layups. They
Duke.
Got some layups. Duke is on there. Western Illinois, Western Michigan. Yeah, they're gonna rattle off some wins. And like if they start the season, if Illinois starts season 3-0 and they go to Indiana and they beat Indiana, because Indiana will probably start pretty solid again this year. Mm-hmm. At that point, you know, people are gonna be like, Cignetti doing it again. You know, here comes Kurt Cignetti with another great season. They've got Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, and Indiana State. So you're probably gonna have 2-3-0 teams right
going
there
into that game.
Heading into that game. Yeah.
And we haven't even mentioned, and we're talking about the Big Ten, Iowa, who
yeah.
you want to talk about getting hit every week. You may beat them. You're going to come out of that game feeling like hell.
It's not going to be a comfortable
no.
day. It definitely won't be. I think that is one of the things where the SEC has been trying so hard to make everybody see how great they are mm-hmm. lately. And it's something they've never really they've had to do before.
They've had to ring the bell because of the last two national titles.
They've come from somewhere else.
Yeah, and who's in the final?
Not them. Yeah.
So, I think there's a little bit of a sore spot that's showing for the SEC right now.
Oh, and rightfully so. I mean, because it takes so much pride in it. And it is an insanely tough conference. I mean, there is no doubt about it. But the idea that the gap is so much greater than it was before, I don't know, man, because I look up and down the Big Ten, even, you know, a Michigan State team with Jonathan Smith as their head coach. They went through it last year. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt Jonathan Smith is a damn good head
yes.
coach near the bottom of that conference. There are road apples in it. Purdue is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Purdue has gone through it. They have
Vanderbilt down to the educational institute and the color scheme is quite literally the Purdue of the SEC.
Yeah, but they had a good year last
they
year.
They did.
And so now he's puffing his chest out and he should do that.
Have that fun because you're never going to have to buy another drink in that town ever again.
Yeah. But when you look at the bottom of the Big Ten, Maryland, they had one of the best receivers I saw all of last year. I mean, God, what was that kid's name? But he was literally all over the field for them last year. What is his name? It was Ty Felton. Mm. Ty Felton. That kid's a player, dude.
Yeah. But also Maryland in both the football and basketball sides of things is struggling.
They got the broke boy problems at times.
Which makes no sense.
Well, they weren't getting a full share for a long time, so they were behind the eight ball. It'll be interesting to see kind of where some of these schools go, because there's this interesting idea that you could see the next wave of realignment be teams going, like a Maryland going, would it be better for us to go to a group of five and join the Big East for basketball and kind of go that Memphis route, but essentially line your coffers for a few years in the Big Ten and then say, well, if we want to get a way to get to the playoff in football and still be relevant basketball-wise, we can do that by going Big East in hoops and then play football in a group of six where we know the money's not going to be there, but if we continually position ourselves to make a playoff run, we're not just getting our brains beat in on the football field.
Yeah, anymore. I mean, it's a little Boise State-esque in that line.
But one, lining your pockets first and then staying in a basketball, you know, power conference.
And in Big East, and the thing we mentioned with them over and over again, because they don't have football programs, you can get a bigger chunk of cash on the basketball side.
Yeah. Coaching in the Big Ten is pretty damn good. Lanning, Cignetti, Franklin, Day, Bielema, Ferentz, you have PJ Fleck rowing the boat, Lincoln Riley, Greg Schiano, Jed Fish, Matt Rhule, Jonathan Smith. I mean, those are
crap.
Yeah. That's and I didn't even say like Sharone Moore, who I thought did a very good job at Michigan last year with the mass defections that they had to the NFL draft after winning national championship. Your head coach leaves and he takes your defensive coordinator with you. Like there was a lot that left with Jim Harbaugh on the way out. I thought he did a pretty good job and then went out this year and they backed up the Brinks truck, but they fixed the biggest hole they had, which was that quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's still a lot to be seen there. But
I mean, Michigan's return to prominence is real, and this is always the question.
And
is
Luke Fickell at Wisconsin?
Yeah, God.
There's some good coaches, man.
There's 10 really good coaches in that conference.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yep. All right. 503-864-6326. That be the fan text line. An update from Omaha as the Beavs are taking on Louisville in the College World Series. Plus, the legacy that might be getting tarnished. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, top of the fifth, Oregon State trailing Louisville 4-2. Beavs are at the plate. Elimination for Oregon State. They've been fighters, man. They had to win four straight in the regional. Then they go back in super regionals, win one, drop one, back against the wall, game three. They do it. Here they are in Omaha facing the same fate with elimination at stake against the Louisville Cardinals, who they beat in game one of this. So here we go. Kevin Durant is on the trading block. And initially reports are he wanted to go back to New York.
Yeah.
Some way. Yahoo Sports, I guess it was The Athletic, was the first to report this. Kevin Durant's preferred trade destination is San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. Texas teams. San Antonio, Houston, and then I think Miami is the preferred top three.
I don't know about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is unequivocally one of the best scorers in NBA history.
For my money, he's the best overall scorer in the history of the league.
KD will be, if he gets his way and he gets to San Antonio, his legacy is going to be a weird one that people will remember.
I think it already is.
He is just chased, chased, and chased. And it's been this flip-flop back and forth between wanting to build it somewhere and do it on his own to, oh, hell, I can't do this by myself. I need to go somewhere else. And whether that was Golden State, doing it in Oklahoma City, going to Golden State, Brooklyn, Phoenix, it has always been like, I can do this on my own. Nope, don't need to do it on my own. If he goes to a place that has De'Aaron Fox and Victor Wembanyama
and Dylan Harper
and Dylan Harper
and Steph Castle,
holy smokes. Yeah. That in, I wonder if that's fair to do to a guy because we put so much emphasis on winning. Yet when a guy's like, yeah, that's what I want to do, we crush him for it.
I don't get it. Look, I'm not a fan of rings culture, but Kevin Durant is in the twilight of his career. He's got 18 years in the bag. You know, I mean, this is the same guy that was drafted at the same pick after Greg Oden. We've talked about this draft class so much over the last couple months. And ultimately, I don't think KD ends up in Houston or San Antonio. I think it's going to be in the Western Conference, but I think it's going to be one of Minnesota, or I think the Clippers are going to come out of nowhere and get him.
Minnesota. So that'd be Rudy Gobert would have to come and return.
And then they re-sign Naz Reid, and then the rebounding and defense is a little bit different, but now you're dealing with
I would say a lot different without Rudy Gobert.
But now you're talking about having basically five out, being able to space the floor. There's a lot more room to maneuver. You've got Ant Edwards getting downhill, and you're kicking out to Kevin Durant.
Would Portland be a third team in a third team in that deal because of the financials that Phoenix is in with the second apron?
Because neither team can aggregate. They're going to have to roll a third team into this one way or the other to make this work. So
it would be interesting to see what Portland would want out of that.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing is, you know, we've talked so much over the last couple days, last couple weeks about the NBA draft and prospects, but everybody that I've talked to in front offices over the last couple weeks has been like, it's going to be a super busy day because on draft day, any step-in rules, stuff like that, that goes out the window when you're up to picks. So, like, you can move picks around, you can move players around. It's going to encourage action. Everybody believes that there's going to be some draft picks that are traded in draft. We already had one trade today that we haven't talked about yet, in the Indiana Pacers trading with the Pelicans and getting their 2026 first back, and the Pelicans get their pick this year at number 23.
That is still a weird thing that I know no players were involved in this, but that a team
in the finals made a transaction.
In the NBA finals the day after they lose game five is making a transaction of any sort.
Yeah. I mean, the front office isn't like, look, what they've done is what they've done. It's up to the coaches now to kind of handle business. Front office is kind of, they're not dissociated, but like, that's just, you're looking at next week, the draft, and like, you have to kind of do this. Denver made a trade during their finals run 2 years ago or 3 years ago. When they won the finals, they made a trade, I want to say, in between game four and five going into that draft. So it's not common, but it does happen.
It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. But as it pertains to Durant, from the folks that I've talked to, him being traded is as close to a certainty as that exists in the league, because nothing's ever certain, because Lord knows anything can change. See Luka Doncic. But with where they're at with things, what Phoenix wants back is so weird. You know, Matt Ishbia has been so out front of like, we want to compete and we want to contend. And I'm like, you're not getting Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, and a boatload of picks back. Like, that's gone. Mm-hmm. Now, what's really interesting is, in talking to a few front office members after the Desmond Bane trade, you know, front offices are like, oh, God, here we go again. Because four firsts were in a deal for a guy, Desmond Bane, who is very good. It's not five for Mikal, but, like, Orlando identified a player they want. They made an offer that Memphis couldn't turn down. That's basically what that came down to. But does that now artificially inflate a price for Kevin Durant?
I don't think it artificially does. It set the bar of what these deals will look like. The first team to make a deal is the one that sets the marker for how all the other deals in an offseason. That is any sport, that's been the history of the trade market.
And that's what's going to be interesting. Now does Phoenix be like, no, we need this, this, and this because, you know, we can't look like X because of what Memphis got back for Desmond Bane. Now, Kevin Durant's going to be 37 years old in September, but he's also 27-6-4 mm-hmm. on 50-40-90. Like, yeah, he's old, but like his game hasn't really changed for a decade. Now, Father Time's going to reach up and grab him, and he's going to pick up little nicks and injuries, but the way he plays the game, he's, unless something catastrophic happens, you know, knock on wood, nothing bad happening to him, he's going to give you 70 games of 26, 27 points on stupid efficiency while also still being 7 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though his defense is not what it once was, his rebounding has fallen off a little bit, he's still 7 foot tall and mobile. Like, it's still a difficult thing to deal with. Like, passing around him, shooting over him, those like, on the defensive side of the ball, is he a plus like he was? No. But he's no slouch there either. So does Phoenix look at this and go, well, we have to get X, Y, and Z back, which immediately kicks Miami out of a deal because they won't ever give up anything. If they do, it will be a stunner if they actually gave up, because what Phoenix is going to want back is Khloe Ware, because they want a big back in return because they just don't have a viable big. Like, Nick Richards is totally fine as a backup big. You can work with that. But they don't really have a starter, and the Heat don't ever want to deal anything of real value. So it was like, well, yeah, no, if they just do.
And remember, Nurk is in Charlotte now.
Yeah, it's not like they're sitting there going, well, you know, I've seen Phoenix fans like, well, you know, if you do Wiggins, Hawkes, or Jovic, and Terry Rozier and Khloe Ware in 3 firsts. And I'm like, oh, so more than the Heat were willing to give up for Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
No, that's not happening.
Yeah, wait.
They're not doing that for 37-year-old Kevin Durant.
Well, Miami is just going to Miami, and we need to start ignoring them on social media.
I know. But it's just like, yeah, what's happening here? As it pertains to Houston and San Antonio, from what I've heard and what I've been told, both those teams are leery of adding a guy as good as Kevin Durant is that's that old. Their rosters are so young.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that you were a Kevin Durant away from being in a conference finals? Houston, you might be able to talk yourself into it.
No, I think, but it would all depend on what do you have to give up in order to get him.
And both those teams have a lot of assets, but those young assets aren't exactly what Phoenix wants in return. Like, that kind of signals not necessarily a rebuild, but a very significant retooling. And Devin Booker's 28 years old, and Book is at that point where he's still like, I want to be Phoenix through and through. I want to play my whole career here. We've heard this before. And this is not a shot at Book or Dame. Stuff changes, man. How you feel at 28, 29, 30, that can change. Life changes. Every time you say, like, a player says they want to play in a specific place for their whole career, I do tend to believe them. But life changes.
Yeah.
The things around you change. All of the things that are there are no longer things that you have to, that you're considering 3-4 years down the road. And so if you're the Phoenix Suns, I would lean towards the younger assets.
Mm-hmm.
And now that might accelerate Book wanting out, but at the same time, what if you get lucky? And because that's what teams have done. They've gotten lucky when they've made these kind of moves. So
yeah, we'll have to see where KD goes with that, because that is a, as Deal points out on the text line, Kevin Durant, will Kevin Durant have a legacy because he doesn't have a home? At least Reggie Miller can always go back to Indiana and be viewed as a god. That's going to be interesting for Kevin Durant moving forward, is what he is viewed at. Oklahoma City, probably?
Mm.
It's not Golden State.
No.
It's not Brooklyn.
No.
It's not Phoenix.
No. Oklahoma City is, maybe Seattle gets a team and he goes back there.
There you go. There you go. That might be it. That might be it right there. So. All right.
All right, coming up next, time for our worst day on the web. First, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint. Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
On today's Worst Day on the Web, mild pivot here. Dusty just found one here that's mildly interesting.
Okay.
Like, Guinness World Records always interest me.
Yeah.
Because you have to get the certification, because anybody can claim anything. You've got one here that controversy abounds.
Look, restaurant wars, they are very real. They upset people when you try to have the flex of, we saw this in the movie Elf. World's best coffee. Congratulations.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, but restaurant wars do get messy within cities as you're trying to jockey for position. In Madrid, Spain, very old city, Madrid, Spain. It is crazy when you think of just how old the Middle East, Africa, Europe, Asia really are.
Particularly in comparison to the U.S.
When they still call us the New World, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's totally fair.
Yeah,
you guys got that.
The restaurant that we're going to reference here is literally older than the existence of the U.S.
That is very true. The Sobrino de Botín is a restaurant in Madrid, and they have been dubbed the world's oldest restaurant.
And the asterisk there is continuously operating.
That's right. That's right. They say that they have been around since 1750. By the way, 1776.
Mm-hmm.
America's birthday. There is a tavern, though, right down the road in Madrid that is saying, no, this is BS. They've been around since 1702. And now you have restaurant wars going on. And this is where it's like, how do you even prove that your
carbon dating,
that your bar has been around for that long.
You got to have like a photograph or a drawing
from 1702. From 1702.
Like you have to have something, like some sort of like certification or. So when I moved into my house, I still actually have it on the wall. The house was built in 1952, and they built a shed outside. And tacked to the inside of the wall was the permit from 1954, from when they built the studio. Like the actual like building permit was actually still tacked inside there. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, this piece of paper is 30 years older than me.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh. So I have it still tacked to the same beam because I have one exposed beam. It's in the studio. And I still have it basically in the exact same spot it was. And I'm like, I'm going to leave this here because this is kind of cool.
Yeah, go ahead and leave that there.
So is there something like that that exists? Like, is there like some deed or some rights or like something that came down that was like tax collector, tax records, something along those
and
lines?
And that is what the restaurant has been able to prove.
Mm.
In the tavern is like they just have a sign that says that they've been around since 1702. Mm. But the problem is that they can only go back and prove to the 1750s.
Mm.
So the sign says we've been around since 1702. They can only go back and prove to the 1750s, which date keeping and record keeping back then, not the best.
No, not great, Bob.
Not the best. Like, we have all the permits that you have to get now. But when you have a bar or restaurant that is that old, that becomes your sticking point of what is going to get people through the door. It's that we're the oldest operating restaurant or tavern in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm assuming that even though they might be nice, even if it's not the best food in the world or you're not going to get the best drink in the world, people are just going to go because
we talked about.
I don't know what the Madrid
the,
fair. Oh, I had fish at the oldest restaurant in the world.
Paella.
Paella. There you go.
We talked about going to the restaurant bar right across the street from the White House. We couldn't get there. It's Ebbets something. It's not Ebbets Field. It's like Ebbets Bar or something like that. But it's directly across from the White House, and it's like it's the oldest. I think it's one of the oldest restaurant bar establishments in the country.
8 a.m. I went to, or I think it was 9, because we had to wait till they open. I went to the oldest bar in America in Boston.
Mm.
When we got there, we were doing the whole Freedom Trail thing. I was like, yeah, no, I'm going there.
Yeah, let's go check this out.
Yeah, we're going to go there.
Because that's one of the things about when you travel outside the U.S., particularly you go to the more ancient parts of the world. You go mm-hmm. to the Middle East and the Mediterranean, like that region of the world that's still alive and vibrant, but... Like, you go to Rome. When you go in and you see the Colosseum, you're just like, holy crap. Or you go to Egypt and you see the pyramids and you're like, oh my God. Or you go, most people don't go, but like the oldest living residences in the world are in Iraq. And they're these like domed buildings kind of built in the hillside. They're literally 10,000 years old.
Sheesh.
Yeah, and you start talking about like, well, the U.S. is 275 years old, 74 years old now, somewhere on those lines.
No, I'm not good at subtracting big numbers like that.
But like, it's not even close, and it's like you just can't fathom how old some of this stuff is. If you go down to like Machu Picchu or something like, where you just see these ancient ruins. And then there's stuff that's newer than that, but it's still so much older than anything that we have here.
Anything.
Like, it's not even close. And, like, there's just, like, at least for me, you just kind of get washed over by the overwhelming history of something.
Yeah, no doubt about it,
You go to Athens and you see the old temples of the gods, the Greek gods. Like, there's not much left of them, but... You know, you go to Egypt and you see the pyramids, but, you know, you've got the ports, the port of, Alexandria. It's named after Alexander the Great, like the conquest line and everything that came out of that. And, you know, the wonders of the world and everything that comes out of that is always so nuts. And then you've got bars and restaurants that are older than the entirety of this country's history.
Yeah. And they've been in operation ever
continuously.
Since. Like that is.
And you just think about it, the number of, like even at like a small bar, the number of people that have been there over the course of 300 years
yeah.
has just got to be bonkers.
Well, and they said that the lady who runs this tavern, she's eighth generation owners. Their family
owner, has operator.
Owned this tavern for eight generations.
I mean, what is it? Who is the president that had the kid, the grandkid that just passed?
William
Tyler. John Tyler.
John Tyler.
So to think about that, that's three generations. And this is eighth generation.
This is eight. Well, that is a little bit of an anomaly,
but I mean, it's like, it's just so interesting when you think about that.
It's crazy to think how they're just like, you didn't have one Tommy Boy in there.
Yeah.
Who just like ran it into the ground. I guess Tommy Boy saved it.
He saved it.
Damn right. Callahan Auto Parts. But you don't have one of those eight generations. Like, yeah, we're out.
Yeah. I want to go be a painter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go work in the arts.
You're running the bar. Yeah. Get your butt back
just
in there.
Chain them to it. I'm sure they've got chains in there.
Yeah. I mean, my family didn't even make it one.
Yeah. There you go.
They did make it. One generation. We didn't even make it two.
What's the likelihood that place that has a cellar also double as a dungeon at one point in time?
I'm pretty high.
Right?
Pretty high. There was some crime done there.
Yeah.
You got to think.
That's the thing. Like, we were talking about London off air yesterday. Like, there's some parts of London that are still new, but most of London is...
It's old.
60, 70 years old?
Yeah.
Because it was bombed to oblivion in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically everything south of London, it was just bombed to hell by the Germans. But you get north of there, and that's where you get, like, a lot of the older castles and stuff like that. But it's just, like, it's so weird to think about time, because growing up in this country, time is so different. History is so different. It's such a short, significantly shorter period of time.
Crazy.
So, well, speaking of time, in college sports, it's time, unfortunately, for the death of the non-football basketball powerhouse programs. And that pertains to a lot of college athletes that don't participate in those sports. Those are your Olympic sports or the non-money-making sports. And one team regionally is already starting to make those cuts. We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. All right, little hot route here is because we got some political news that pertains to the world of sports in our backyard.
That's not the way we want this segment to start, Danny. Yeah. Is political news?
Yeah, no.
We have sports news.
It's sports news adjacent from the world of politics. If you've been following along with MLB to PDX for the last few years, you've seen, I think, a breath of excitement maybe starting to build up a little bit, where everybody kind of thought, oh, okay, we're doing this all over again. But House Bill 110 was sent down to the state legislature. I believe it was back in April is when we got word that it was very likely going to be greenlit to be pushed on to the next process. Well, that next process has occurred, and it passed overwhelmingly. And if you're wondering what House Bill 110 is, it is basically the iteration that is going to allow for the jock tax to increase from a max pool of $115 million up to $800 million. And for those that don't know, this does not just impact the Thorns, Timbers, Blazers. It's anyone who comes through. So if you're an away team and you play in Portland, when they get their pay stubs, there is a breakout there for Oregon and their jock tax. It's why playing in places like New York, Oregon, and California that have quite literally very prohibitive taxes for high earners in professional sports, that goes into this pool of $115 million that had a cap. That cap is now being lifted up to $800 million.
Now, there's big questions, and rightfully so, over whether or not that pool of money would ever get to $800 mm-hmm. million dollars for, and this isn't coming from any taxes that you and I or anybody listening, unless you play a professional sport.
Mm-hmm.
There's questions whether that pool of money will ever get to $800 million. Well, in this, they are saying, if it doesn't get to $800 million, we're not just going to cut a check from the general fund to cover the $800 million. The owners will then have to foot the rest of the bill. So keep that in the back of your mind, that this isn't coming out of anywhere else.
No.
It is, when you think of it, the bipartisan support to pass anything 46-6
in this state
is pretty incredible, and it got support from the governor. It's going to head to the governor's desk next, and at that point, it's probably going to be signed in. I think that this is a no-brainer, because if that pool in over time, it's just going to continual growth in that pool mm-hmm. of money. And look, we're looking at, you know, hopefully by 2029, which that sounds like it's in the distant future. That's only 4 years away. Yeah. MLB is going to be announcing expansion. You want to have every single duck in a row in order for that to happen, to get financing and say, hey, we have political support. We have financial support. We are ready to go. We have land.
We have land.
We're ready to get this thing done and get the ball rolling immediately. This is, in Major League Baseball, desperately needs this to happen mm-hmm. in advance so they don't run into stadium issues like they currently have in Sacramento with the A's, like in
Tampa
with the Rays, and they're going to have in a few short years with Miami with the Marlins, right?
This, or they've had it in Arizona.
Always happens again and again and again. Well, this is to alleviate a lot of those pressures.
This is not the final step, but this is not
complete either.
No, this is good news though, as it starts to push towards this, because, and I do believe in this, public funds should not be set aside for billionaires who are going to make this money, because here's the thing. It's not just the stadium that makes the money. It's the surrounding land and all the restaurants and shops, and like they would own that land around that generates revenue. And it does get paid back pretty damn quick. Like, you went down to Atlanta, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Dirt, and that area around, even though it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Dirt and I didn't just take a mandate to Atlanta, by the way. We went down for the Oregon-Georgia game a few years ago.
But you guys went down and caught a Braves game.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole area around, it's like, what, 20 minutes outside Atlanta?
Yeah. It's
give or take.
There, yeah.
But that whole area was nothing, and now it's this, like, bustling economy around the Braves and any events that they have in that area. There's mm-hmm. shops, there's restaurants. Like, it's a destination place to go to, of which Portland just does not have. It's the same issue that we have with the Rose Quarter.
Well, one thing that I do appreciate out of this as well is that our state's leaders are now acknowledging the importance that sports can have
mm-hmm.
in revitalizing a city, in the image of a city. And I firmly believe that it can, and it does. What you just outlined right there is a great example of it.
It used to be a bit of BS.
But right now, with the way that Portland mm-hmm. is viewed and the way that it is, bringing Major League Baseball to Portland would be a huge step in kind of getting the image back on the right track. And there's several other steps that you can make mm-hmm. and that they do need to make. But this is no cost to the average taxpayer in the state of Oregon, and it does not.
And it's not an Oregon residents tax either.
Oregon residents do not, like, they're not affected by this
at
one
all.
Bit unless you play a professional sport. And you're right. It's not going to increase how much money they have to pay when they come here to play. It's just the funds that are going to be allocated towards that are going to go towards
the cap's going up.
The cap is going up, so the pool can get bigger. How big it gets, again, they're not going to say, all right, well, we have $150 million for it, but we only got to, and then they extend it out to $800. Well, we only got to $500. We'll cut you a check for $300 mil. That's not going to happen. No. They're going to go, well, you're on the hook for that other $300 million. But it is
But it's still
nice.
A half a billy that you're not going to get otherwise.
Showing that you want another professional sports team here. And we need it desperately here. And selfishly, I love sports. I would love to have Major League Baseball here.
Yes.
I think it would be great. But I also think that the people that are getting upset over, well, where's the extra money going to come from? Not from you.
Yeah.
Not from me. That's okay.
And this part of it is they're now catching up to Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Because Utah, with the ownership groups and the business partners that they have and what Ryan Smith is doing and even organizing everything and getting everything ready, we saw how quickly they got that NHL team.
Mm-hmm.
They are ready to go. And if you're Portland and you're basically fighting with Utah for that expansion, and if you want it, you've got to have your ducks in a row. So now there's land. Now there's at least an allocation of funds. And there does seem to be legitimate positive momentum on the business side and on the political side, which I think might be the first time ever that both are aligned.
Here is a quote from John Calhoun, who's part of the watchdog group Tax Fairness of Oregon. This is from an Oregonian article. We tried to educate legislators on the fallacy of their economic premise, that is, all of the funds that would be used to pay for the stadium are free. You could make that statement about any new business coming to the state, and economists who are independent economists almost universally say, that's a fallacy. It's okay.
So there you go. Baseball of Portland coming in 2029. It's done.
No.
It's not done.
Long way.
Long way. But hey, some good news along the way. All right, coming up, we are a week and one day from the NBA draft, and mock drafts and intel are actually starting to paint a clearer picture of what we can anticipate to happen, not only for Portland, but in the NBA. We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.